Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Man, oh man, 0-2. 0-2, but all is not lost. We'll get into all of that. We got some bad decisions to look at. We got some mysteries to look at with Jordan Love and the Packers. We have a lot to discuss. So I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Chris Sanders coming aboard in a bit. For Run TMC, we got Rob Demoski, ESPN NFL Nation Packers Report. Give you the latest on Jordan Love, and we got my guys over here, DJ, David.
Yes, sir.
And my man, Connor, Parker over there. Funny thing, I called him Connor for some reason a couple weeks ago, and the look he gave me was just hilarious. But, yeah, it is what it is, man. So, yeah, definitely good to have you guys riding with me. And I guess, you know, we'll start off with this loss, right? And 24-17, and I tell you what, it's like the Jaws movies or, you know, the what's the movie with Tyrese and the racing movie?
Oh, Fast and Furious?
It's like Fast and Furious. Yeah, exactly. Like multiple Matrix, like movies that have multiple episodes, and you're like, man, I've seen this before. And that's exactly what happened in this Titans game, the loss to the Jets. And it's crazy because you got the momentum in the first half, just like you did in the season opener. You got a drive going where six, maybe even seven different guys touched the football. Then you had the turnover. And I tell you, this is yet another example of how real momentum is. Analytics guys, you got to acknowledge it. I mean, look, like I acknowledge analytics as a big part of the game. You know, I acknowledge knowing tendencies. Heck, back in 1990, middle school days, and then high school, and then college in the late 90s, like we looked at tendencies. That's what analytics are. It's just a mathematical picture of the tendency. But I know you can't put that on momentum, and thus analytics guys look at it as not real. You saw it. And I think when you look at that, right, that fumble, it just kind of put life back into the Jets, you know? I know their offense came out and they, you know, ended up having a punt, and then you had to throw Levis to Burks. And, you know, we could talk about that, too. It was picked off. You have to high point it, right? Like, you're taught as a receiver, go get the ball at the highest point. Go up, snatch it out of the air, pull it to your body, and hold on to it for dear life, and don't let anybody take it out. In fact, I remember in college having our coaches would call it ball bonding drills, where you would have a catch with each other, like the receivers, we have a catch with each other, and you catch the ball and you literally stare at it all the way into the tuck, securing it to the tuck. That's what they had to do. And I tell you, when you look at it, that's what didn't happen in this. And that's why it came out at the end of the play. That's why Brandon Nichols was able to, you know, pull it away. The throw, I get making the throw. You want to take a shot, especially like you want to give your team a spark. And that Will Levis, you know, you look at average depth of target. Look at me using the A dot, right? The analytics part of it. You look at that. Will Levis is among the highest, right? You know, right around, I don't know, remember what the number was, but I remember seeing it was among the highest. So you understand it. Like he has a penchant for taking the shots down the field. I just wonder though, Calvin Ridley was coming open on that. And I posted a video of it, and a lot of the Will Levis truthers, you know, came out and said, look, I'm not saying it was a bad throw. Again, like, I get taking that shot. But I just wonder if you see the safety, right, kind of bailing out, staying over top of that deep route, and you see Calvin Ridley coming across, and the DB is behind him in a trail position. That side of the field, like from that opposite hash all the way to Germantown.
Exactly, yeah.
It was nobody
wide
there.
Wide
air. So I'm just thinking, like, maybe throw it and lead him over there and let him go get it. Again, it's not a bad throw, what he did. I just wonder if the higher percentage throw would have yielded a better result. But I tell you a good thing in that play is proof that Levis isn't necessarily forcing it to an individual player, right? Because if he was, he would look at that and say, yeah, Treylon Burks, Calvin Ridley, I'm going to Ridley, right? You know, and then even more proof of that, because another stat to throw out there, another analytical thing to throw out there is when it comes to QBs going to their first read the most, Will Levis is third. There were times where DeAndre Hopkins was out there and he was open. And he was the primary read. Brian Callahan said it twice. But Levis didn't go to him. Now, granted, as Callahan explained, there were times where the defense took that away and you had to go to the next read. And the only reason I'm mentioning that is because I've seen people say he's a one-read quarterback. No. If he was a one-read quarterback, you would see him throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins a little bit more because Hopkins, even though he was only out there 26 snaps out of 60-something, he was a primary read on a good amount of them. So the targets would increase. So I just kind of use that as a way to say Levis is not a one-read and panic quarterback. Now, does he panic? Yes. And that's a part of the whole rewiring process that has to happen. But nevertheless, that interception, you know, it was tough. So the Packers get the ball, the Jets get the ball. They score 7-7. Defense, you know, I would hate to be them, man, because like the three and outs, the turnovers, it's tough on them. But at the same time, as Jeffrey Simmons has said, the defense has to force turnovers. They have to find a way to turn the football over. And I don't know exactly what it's going to take. I don't know. But they got to find a way to get takeaways. Being -4 and towards the bottom of the league in that category, I mean, 2 games, 0 takeaways. And this is a team that Denard Wilson stood in front of us in February. January, February, and said turnovers was like a premium. Like, he's preached it. So I know he's got to be going crazy knowing, because typically what you emphasize, you produce. Not in this case. So I will say this, watching them in practice, you know, during individual period, instead of working as much on individual stuff, they're doing ball disruption drills. Man, I feel like a Vrabel practice. But that's what they're doing, right? You know, working to punch the ball out, working on tip drill and those types of things. They have to do that in order to get this defense right. They do defend the run well, which I think is going to play into their hands against the Packers, because we know a hobbled Jordan Love or Malik Willis being out there, we know that they're going to look to run the football and lean heavily on Josh Jacobs, who, you know, he ran all over the Colts. And, I mean, this team, they had a 164 in the first quarter. So, darn, NFL, like, one of the close to an NFL record. So, you know, make no mistake about it, and we always talk about it, right? You play good defense and run the football well. That's how you take a crowd out of the stadium, right? So, you know, they're going to look to do that. Matt LaFleur obviously coming back, you know, would love to get out of here with a win. But I think, you know, when you look at this game, there were a lot of missed opportunities, you know, and it was just tough for them. They had times where, like I said, a lot of people were touching the ball and they were getting everybody involved, but you just have to see ways to be more efficient, right? You know, the penalties are killing them. The pressures, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, you know, 9 pressures, you can't have that. Will McDonald, the fourth, is a guy that, we knew about him coming out of Iowa State. He's an uber athletic. In fact, he had a video where he jumped over a Chevy Tahoe. Like, this dude is an athlete. You know what I'm saying? But still, like, you can't let him just do what he did, you know? And it was key moments where you saw the sack. So that's something that has to improve. Brian Callahan talked about helping Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, so it was partly on him for that, he said, but it is also on the player to execute. Like, you can't get dominated like that. So the right tackle story is something we'll continue to hear being told, and I tell you, it's something that they have to fix, because you can't have it to where you get into third and long and you almost have to just, you know, consider punting on third down. Like, that's a bad thing because of the way the protection is. Now, granted, Will Levis, you know, at the same time, he has to be able to manipulate the pocket a little bit more, stay on his midline, you know, stop drifting the way he has at times. But, I mean, it's understandable, right? Like, you're a guy that's getting hit. He's been hit, like, almost all the time in these games that he's played. So that's a big thing that they're going to have to get together. And I think when you watch this game, again, there were opportunities, right? Calvin Ridley, he came up with the amazing catch, beautiful concentration on that catch, you know, with Sauce Gardner on him and the safety closing in, Chuck Clark. But then, you know, he had the over-the-shoulder one that he didn't have his hands as close together as they needed to be, and the ball just kind of went through his hands, and he was just talking about that on Wednesday.
Yeah, like that's
he's disgusted at that, and you like that, right? Because that's what the really good players. Yeah, he had his first rushing touchdown, his first receiving touchdown, first rushing touchdown of his career, by the way. And you know, these were his first scores with the new team, the Titans. But he wasn't worried about that. He kept talking about that one that he didn't pull in. And I think that's the mark of a premier player. So you got to continue to find ways to get him the ball. But when opportunities come, he has to capitalize. So that was a missed opportunity there. You look late in the game, you know, Tyler Boyd and Chig Okonkwo, a lot of people looked at that and said, it was a bad draw up. It was something that wasn't designed right. But the way it was designed, actually, it's one of those, like, old school, like, pick type of plays where, you know, Chig is – he has to get upfield, right? And he has to bust it upfield, and Boyd cuts underneath of him, right? But because of the protection and because of Chig getting jammed up a little bit, Boyd had to cut it short, and that's why he was short of the end zone, you know? So – those are some of the things that you have to look at. But then even, I mean, earlier in that game, I think it was the previous series, you know, Hopkins was coming open on the crosser, and Sauce Gardner, like, clearly held him. The officials have to see that.
They do.
They have to see that. And, of course, nothing is going to be perfect, but that's when you have to – it's in the end zone. Like, yeah. You can't miss that. So that's another one. Ridley was coming open on a kind of like a seam route. It was out of a bunch to the right, and I remember he was the outside, yeah, because they ran a clear out and he ran the seam, and it was there. Like, it was a tight to the formation bunch, and it was there, but, you know, there was a little bit of pressure, and boom, he couldn't get it to him. So it goes back to that protection getting better. That's something that they have to fix. Defensively, Kenneth Murray, like, the coverage, it's something we talked about being an issue, and you know what? Breece Hall, just, he made a tremendous play, right? He went up and got the football the way Burks probably should have gotten the deep route that he didn't. Like, he went up and he high-pointed it and snatched it, and that allowed him to score. And I tell you another thing that's emerging that you have to watch out for, and that's this team giving up runs to the outside. Easton Freeze, he's a – big-time analytical guy. Like, he's by the numbers. He loves it. And we were talking, and I had said, man, this team, like, is not good at containing. Like, teams, they want to run outside. You know, you see stretch, you see toss. And so Easton went back, and he looked at it, and the Titans, I believe it was 8 runs of 10 yards or more. All of them came outside.
That's nuts.
So that lets you know what teams, and I would imagine the Packers are going to look to do that, get outside, because, you know, running up the middle, like, whether it's the linebackers run blitzing, spiking the A and B gaps, or you got your guys, right? Hamburger, Meatloaf, right? Hamburger and Meatloaf, right? Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat. You got those guys, you know, clogging up the middle, but Arden Key, Harold Landry, because Landry got blown out on that Braylon Allen touchdown. Yeah. Blown out of the way, like, by a tight end. Then the tight end just turned him, had his butt to Braylon Allen. Allen just bounced off of there, made his way to the end zone. So these guys got it. They got to get better in that. I know that's something that they pride themselves upon, stopping the run. So we'll see how that continues to work. I definitely am going to be watching for that because I expect to see a lot of running the football. But the turnovers, man, they got to get that right. The dumb decisions. The blocked punt. Julius Chestnut, you know, he said that he kind of released upfield too quickly, and that's why the lunge looked so lazy, because it was probably one of those things where it's like he took the step and was like, oh, shoot. And so it looked worse than it was. But either way, Stonehouse had another blocked punt, and you got to be careful with that because you can't get your – not your biggest weapon, but one of your big weapons hurt. So that's something else to look at. They got to put that together. Note, it's been since like 1942 that a team had three block punts and, you know, a block punt in three consecutive games. They got to stay away from that, but they did. You want to look at numbers, right? They were the first team since 2002 to have back-to-back games where a punt was blocked. They threw an interception, and I believe it was a lead of 17 points or more. Can't win like that. Nope. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Won't do it. pull out the old Mike Singletary rant to Vernon Davis. I want winners. That's really what it boils down to. But, yeah, I mean, they got to get out of these losing ways. The good thing is the locker room, it was lively this week. You know, guys seem to still be upbeat. They're not pointing the fingers. The locker room isn't saying that one person has to be pulled or anything like that. They're preaching that it's a long season. It's a 17-game season, and they still feel that there's an opportunity for them to turn it around. So we'll see what happens against the Packers. The Malik Willis Bowl, if it comes to fruition, we know Jordan Love may practice. We'll get some more out of that from Rob Demoski. He practiced on Wednesday, may play. He's questionable as of now. So we're going to go to Run TMC, get Chris Sanders in, and talk a little shop. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
As the music fades and the lights dim, here we go. And now, coming to you live from the United Center in Chicago, Illinois. Starting at power forward for your Chicago Bulls, out of the University of Clemson, number 54, Horace.
Oh, wow.
Grant.
And now, starring in the Jefferson as the son, Lionel Jefferson. How many Lionel Jeffersons are on the Jefferson? It had about three of them cats on there, man.
Three or four, at least.
It's like that's when the Fresh Prince came on, you know, when there was two Vivians. First of all, she was light skinned. All of a sudden, she was dark skinned. And all of a sudden, she was like, yeah, hey, man, what are we
they
doing?
They couldn't have picked two opposite ones, more opposite ones, boy. I tell you, Uncle Phil, he didn't have any type. He just said, come on, come on. That's too funny.
Man, what's going on with these tight? It's kind of like the Fresh Prince. You see the defense doing good, but the offense not doing well. What's going on, man?
Man, I tell you what, it's one of those things where, you know, DMX, he had a song where he said, here we go again. And that's exactly, or the Force MDs, right? Here we go again. That's kind of what ended up happening. I mean, there hasn't been a team to have a punt blocked.
Twice.
An interception.
Twice.
And have a – there was a crazy stat I found from Stats and Info. But it hadn't been since, like – and at least a 17-point lead.
Wow.
A team hasn't done that since 2002.
Wow. You know,
and the last team to do that was the Chargers. So it's definitely a bad look to start the season, and they got to turn things around. But from your take, what you've seen, Will Levis, what do you make of the crazy decision-making that he's undergoing?
You know, it's wild because Callahan said a quote. He said this. He said, same story as the last one. And then Levis out of his mouth says a quote. It's like deja vu. So what does that mean? It's just, okay, one minute I'm playing good, then the next minute I'm making a play that can cost you the game. Because, you know, TD, if you look at that, when they were up 7-0, you don't think – I'm not saying the game would have been over, but it would have been close to being over when you're up 14-0. You had all the momentum, everything was going on, and all you got to do is punch it in or even get a field goal. And then you have Will Levis kind of scramble it and throw the ball backwards, and then you saw the momentum shift. You saw Aaron Rodgers, who was struggling early. You saw the offense that was struggling early to all of a sudden get a little momentum. But just watching the game overall, the one positive thing I could really take out of it, the defense is balling, man. I don't care what anybody says. That defense is balling. You got Simmons. You got Sweat. You got Landry. Just got 3 sacks in 2 games. They're flying around. The secondary is shutting down, you know, a lot of their good wide receivers. You got, Wilson, Garrett Wilson. They had only 4 catches for 77 yards. So you're shutting down, you know, you're shutting down the top receivers, but also you're getting to the quarterback. But what will kill you every single time is turnovers and special teams. And that's what we saw in these last 2 games.
But getting back to the quarterback at this point, mm-hmm. You have the same silly mistake. Not the same exact, but the same style of silly mistake. Mm-hmm. At what point does it become, okay, enough's enough?
I think this is just my opinion. If it happens against the Packers game and the Miami game, and the same thing happens over and over, I think you're going to have to, you know, make a change. And I'm not – and I hate to say that because I know how it feels when somebody comes in and replaces you. And one of the guys that may come in and take his position is Rudolph. You know, Rudolph's been consistent. He's been good in the league. So if you're having a situation to where your defense is consistently keeping you the game – I mean, if you look when they play Chicago, they held Chicago to 147 yards, you know, total offense, not passing or running, total yards. But then all of a sudden you have, you know, a pick six, you know, a thing like that that really turns the momentum of the game. So I think it's got to get to a point in time that even though – You know, the coaches like Willis, but you're costing the team because, you know, you have situations like that.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly like Levis and they want to, you know, stick with him. But in the locker room, like, how do you think guys would look at that?
Yeah.
You know, they're busting their behind throughout the week and then they come in and you're in a game and you develop the momentum and then you have that error. Like, how do you think those guys look at that?
You know, everybody's different. I'm going to go for me and I'm going to go from a different aspect. For me, I'm just like, okay, whoever is in there, I got to go out there and make plays. I got to do my job. And I know that sounds cliche, but that was my mentality. But then you have a situation to where you have a defense to where our defense was crazy. Our secondary were nuts. You had a guy like Blaine Bishop to where he wears his emotions on his sleeve. So he's going to let you know how he feels. He's going to run up to the court and say, what are we doing? Why are we not making plays? Why are we not throwing the ball? Why are we not doing this? So it may not come to that aspect to where a defensive guy like a Simmons or, you know, an Arden Key that runs up to the offensive coordinator or runs up to 11 and say, man, we got to get this done. Because when it starts to get like that and everybody starts arguing and the defense is mad at the offense, then now you got a locker room that's divided as opposed to being one.
Yeah, man, that's a dangerous situation to have. Absolutely. If you're DeAndre Hopkins and you're out there, you know, I asked Brian Callahan about that, just the reads and, you know, how Hopkins, he only played 26 snaps, but when he was out there on some of the passing plays, he was open, but he wasn't getting the football. Sometimes that's just the way, the nature of the game, how it works.
Right.
But how would you approach that if you're Hopkins?
I know he's frustrated. I mean, as a receiver, and especially of his caliber, he wants to make some plays and, you know, help this team in every situation. I just think that, you know, I know this sounds cliche, but just got to wait for his opportunity to come. And the reason why he's only playing 26 snaps is because I'm just watching him run. He's not completely healthy. I know he got open and things like that in a couple of plays, but if you kind of watch him during the later on in the game, he's kind of dragging his leg and kind of a little gimpy a little bit. So I think that the offense or the offensive coordinator or Brian Callahan, the head coach, is really trying to protect him because if you start running digs and running comebacks and start, stop, you don't want that thing to tear completely because now as opposed to him being out for the whole season, he's just not getting the reps.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's so strange to me because they're saying that, you know, they don't have a – a fear of him injuring it any further, which is surprising to me because you know, if it's not fully torn, which we know it's not, it can be torn. I don't know. That's a different one. Let's flip it to the defensive side. The turnovers, right? Like they preach turnovers. They live. They breathe it in practice. In fact, in ball, in practice, you know, they go through ball security drills, ball disruption drills. They're still minus four in that category. What's behind that?
Yeah, are you talking about the defense? The defense not getting turnovers?
The defense not getting turnovers. Offense having
Yeah, I mean, it's like, the defense is playing well, but you got to get that break. I mean, we have a secondary that doesn't even have an interception yet. I mean, it's just, I know it's only the third game of the season, but you still haven't had a pick. You haven't had, you know, the turnovers that you need. And then you got the offense. I just think that, you know, the reason why the offense is having those turnovers is not just because guys are just fumbling the ball everywhere and, you know, guys are, you know, Levis is just making a whole bunch of interceptions. It's just the decision-making. And when I talk about the decision-making, look at what happened in the Chicago Bears game. He throws a pick six. And then, you know, later on in the game in Chicago, he throws another interception. Then all of a sudden in the same game, you know, he has a fumble that he gets his from his blind side. And then you get to the Jets game, you have another situation to where, you know, you try to make something happen and you try to roll the ball to your running back and you just have situations like that. So I think that if they can clean up that on offense and then get some takeaways on defense, I think you can improve that stat.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, defense. You know, what has to happen on that side of things in order to get that number right?
They got to do something. I mean, they got to get some picks. They got to have some strips, some fumble recoveries, and you want to have that because if you look at these both of these games, TD, is what has actually changed the game? It's turnovers. Turnovers. So now you're in a situation to where, just say if the Tennessee Titans are down 14-0 against the Packers, then all of a sudden you get an interception, and all of a sudden you get a scoop and score. It just changes the momentum and it changes the game, and that's exactly what this defensive need. It's not that the defense is playing terrible. I mean, I think they're number one in defense in all the categories, but what's hurting them is they're not getting any turnovers, and your offense is creating turnovers.
What about special teams? What do you do there? I mean, this is a team that, you know, they cut a Hassan Haskins. You know, they traded Elijah Molden. Luke Gifford, you know, they had him, but they allocated him to the practice squad and then elevated him. What is it, a personnel thing? What's the issue there?
You know, I mean, it could be both. You know, I think sometimes it could be a personnel because a lot of times, and I'm just going to put myself in a football player's mindset, is sometimes – we think that special teams is not special. It's just a play. But when you watch the game, look at what happened in the Chicago Bears game. What turned the whole game around was special teams, a block punt. So I just think it's a mentality that a guy that gets on special teams, he's got to make sure to say, you know what, I got to block my gap. Any pressure that's coming, I'm going to make sure I block my gap or block the scheme that they're telling me. Because sometimes a lot of guys that are on special teams are playing offense or defense, then they get in there and they're tired. So that can be the aspect too. But then also – it can be, you know, a situation with the special teams coach to where, you know, he's got to prepare these guys to where which guys are coming. Are they sitting like a sending a blitz or whatever it is to get after the punter? But here's the most difficult part and here's the most concerning part. It came in the same gap. So what is that telling you? That means the player or the coach is not, you know, doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, something is wrong there. I want to go back to the offense and the Treylon Burks play where. Yeah, it was the interception. Obviously, you know, you got a high point. He did.
Absolutely.
But kind of take me through that. What's your evaluation of that play is?
Yeah. And listen, first of all, it's going to be a tough catch because you got two guys over you. But here's the thing that I put in my mindset is Treylon, you got a big body. You got a long wingspan. You got to – don't go up there and try to catch with your body. Go up – just like we said, go catch it at the highest point. That's football 101 because you got to understand that if you go to the high point, go to the highest point, that means you made your body a little taller. And now the ball is – you're going to catch the ball with your hands at the highest point as opposed to letting it get into your body. Because, look, if you go back and look at that play, the defensive back didn't take the ball away until it got into Treylon Burks' body. So now what happens is – if you jump up and catch it and then secure it, then now they can't rip it out. I'm going to give you a perfect example. We were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it was my fourth year, and I ran a post. So the defensive back tried to stay on top of me, but I knew he wasn't actually a tall defensive back. So Steve Mack kind of threw the ball up, And as he threw the ball up, I positioned myself to where the defensive back had to come through me. But when he tried to come through me, I'm catching it at the highest point. And once I get it at the highest point, he tries to swipe after I grab it. I tuck it in. Now he has no chance to grab it. That's exactly what Treylon Burks has to do. I'm not saying he didn't give effort. I'm not saying he didn't do the right thing. He's got to make sure he catches the ball at the highest point and tuck it away immediately. That's exactly what his coach Tolbert teaches.
Yeah, no, that's key. And that's something that, you know, it has to come second nature. Let's spin it over to this Packers game. When you look at this team coming in, what do you expect from them? Jordan Love, he practiced on Wednesday. It could be Love. It could be Malik Willis. What do you expect from the Packers?
I love the running game. I like Josh Jacobs. I think he had, 150 last week. You know, I mean, he's balling, has some explosive runs. So, you know, I'm not really concerned about the passing game as much. I mean, I know they got some good, you know, wide receivers like with Reed and Watson. Watson's numbers aren't really up this year, but Reed has been doing pretty good, Jaden Reed. But it's all going to come down to the quarterback position. We know Malik Willis was 12 for 15 last week, and he was just kind of dinking and dunking. But if Jordan Love's in there and they start to throw the ball downfield, then that's where they're going to have to create some problems. Because if you look at this offense, man, this offense is explosive. I know Christian Watson hasn't caught that many passes, but once you start getting him in the game, he can be a threat in the passing game. But if the Tennessee Titans can ball up the run and make Jordan Love or Malik Willis pass and stay and have them stay behind the chains, that's when the Packers will be in trouble.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. They have to be able to stay in front of the chains or behind – defensively stay in front of the chains, you know, against them and be able to rush the passer. Yeah. This defense, though, for the Packers, what do you think will be the outcome there? You got the range of safety in Xavier McKinley. You got, Quay Walker, who's a big-time playmaker, a linebacker. That front, you know, Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, like it's pretty violent. If you want to say it that way.
Yeah, they're pretty violent. But here's the thing. If you look at what did they struggle with last year, stopping the run. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing this year. I think they rank, if I can remember, I think they rank 22nd in stopping the run. So I think for me, if I'm Brian Callahan or if I'm the offensive coordinator Nick Holtz, I'm going to figure out a way to run the ball and stay in front of the chains. Because if you don't stay in front of the chains and it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, that's why those guys that you just named is just pin their head back and they're going to go at the quarterback. So if I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm going to make sure that we're running the game. Even if you run on second down, make sure it's a manageable third down as opposed to being 3rd and long and being 3rd and short. That's what I think. I would absolutely run the football.
How do you see this game playing out?
TD, I really believe that the Tennessee Titans are going to win, and I think they're going to get over the hump. I think the defense is going to play well. I think they're going to get after the quarterback. And I think that Will Levis is going to, you know, not make any mistakes. He's going to make some mistakes, but I don't think he's going to make big mistakes this game because it's not that he's not trying. I know he's not trying to do it, but I just think that if he protects the football, you know, the Tennessee Titans run the football, don't put the ball in his hands, and create turnovers on defense, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to win 21-17.
Oh, there you have it right there. We shall see what happens. We'll definitely reconvene. Absolutely. On Sunday on the award-winning pregame show there, 102.5. And I guess we'll take it out on that unless you have a joke for it.
I do, man. But me and my wife was watching the Titans game, right? So, you know, after the situation with Levis, she threw the remote down. So I went and got the remote. I said, baby, what do you want to watch? She's like, I want to watch one of my favorite cartoons. I said, what cartoon? She's like, you know, it's this guy that walks out on this cartoon, and the owner, the guy who made the cartoon is Bill Cosby. So Bill Cosby makes this, you know, this make believe guy. So this kid walks out, and my wife started cheering. She's like, "Oh my god, oh my god!" She started like, "Oh, I cannot believe that's TD." I said, "Baby, that's not TD. That's Lil Bill."
We're out on that note.
This is Will Levis, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. As we do each and every week, we bring in the ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the team the Titans are playing. I love having this Rolodex, man. My guy right here, my fellow bald-headed, well, let's go shaved guy. You know, we're not bald. We're shaved, you know what I mean?
My choice.
My guy, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter, Rob Demoski. Rob, what's going on, man?
Teron, it's a conscious choice to do what we do and look like we do.
That's it. And real quick, I will never forget that Thursday night game in Green Bay. Yeah. I wanted to curse you out because you went and did your whip without your hat on. I was like, yeah, dang. Now I got to do it.
You know it.
Oh, man, hilarious. Well, listen, man, I guess the best way to start is this Jordan Love mystery. All right, let's put it that way. You had the video it posted with Love working out. What's the latest that you've gathered on him?
Yeah, so the amazing thing, Toronto, is it was 12 days ago that he got hurt and then practiced on this Wednesday. You know, like 12 days after the injury, he was back on the practice field when the initial indications were that he could miss up to a month because of a sprained MCL. Now, he did have a brace on the left knee. He had a protective sleeve over it. And as you know, we don't get to see full speed stuff during the regular season. It's not like training camp, but the stuff that we saw him do, which was the individual quarterback drills, some of the rollouts, and just, you know, throwing to receivers, running backs, and tight ends without any defenders, he looked pretty normal to me. Now, he said after practice that, you know, they're going to have to, I'm going to have to show them that they can put me out there and that I'm confident that I can protect himself, meaning, you know, he's got to be somewhat mobile, although he admitted that he won't be as mobile as usual. And for what it's worth, Malik Willis told us after practice that I wouldn't be surprised if Love plays. That's what Malik Willis said.
Wow. Malik dropping gems. I guess, well, tell me this, because I saw you had reported that, you know, there was a possibility he could have went last week. Yeah. And now, I mean, he's really that close after that?
Yeah, I mean, they got so lucky with this thing. I mean, I'm sure everyone's seen the film of it. Oh, it looked really, really, really bad. The crazy thing was, and I am no doctor, and I do not pretend to be, but he was in a lot of pain, right? Like, he saw him, like, you know, he was writhing in pain. And someone told me that knows a lot more about this than I do, that when it comes to the MCL, there's two types of sprains, one's at the top and one's at the bottom of the ligament, and I don't remember which one is which, but he said the one that is more painful, you usually recover from faster.
Hmm.
So the fact that he was in that much pain actually was probably a good thing.
That's very interesting, because here in Nashville, we're watching DeAndre Hopkins, who, you know, has a partial tear in his, and he's out there playing. So that's interesting. I never knew about the top and bottom. I have to ask him about that.
I didn't either. Just, and the whole thing about the more painful one you recover from faster, which I had not known that either.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you look at last week, and you spoke to Josh Jacobs. He had the gloves on. Who cares?
Yeah.
And then went out there and rushed for, you know, 157 yards, 32 carries or somewhere in that neighborhood. How much does the game plan change if Jordan Love, a hobbled Jordan Love, is out there as opposed to Malik Willis?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are. You know, they're going to throw more than 14 times if Jordan Love is in the game. I mean, they you know, had to limit what Malik Willis, you know, what they put on his plate, really. And to be honest with you, he impressed me more than I expected. And maybe my expectations were low, but he didn't turn the ball over. He went out there and was 12 out of 14. He was really good on third down. And then he let Josh Jacobs work. And this is the first time, Teron, in a long, long time around here, that they've had a running back that they could even feel comfortable giving the ball to that many times. Mm-hmm. As good as Aaron Jones was, and I am a huge Aaron Jones believer and loved what he did here, but he only carried over 20 times in a game, 6 times in 7 years in Green Bay. Like, they just didn't feel like they could put him in a position where he was that type of back, where it was game after game, grind after grind with that many carries. And Josh Jacobs is just built differently. Not saying he's better than Aaron Jones or Aaron Jones is better than him. They're just different. And it's the first time that Matt LaFleur has really had a back here that he could go out and do that with. Because if you look at Josh Jacobs' history, and I know he missed some games last year with injury, but for the most part in his career, he was a heavy, heavy workload guy.
And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky. Rob, that game plan last week, I mean, obviously being able to, you know, get Will Levis out there, or excuse me, Malik Willis out there. I always do that. Malik Willis out there and get the win. But the game plan, just being able to redo the running at the game. Like, how impressive was that? And I know, you know, Adam Stanovich is the kind of like run game coordinator, from what I understand. Yep. How impressive was that to you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't want to, you know, overstate it, but in Matt LaFleur's, what is it, 6 seasons here, might be one of his most impressive coaching jobs. It really, really was. I mean, to do what they did faced, now I know they weren't playing the greatest team in the world, and you see the Colts more than I do, but to do what he did with a quarterback who had been there 20 days, to me is remarkable. And now, certainly, the defense helped them out in the sense that, you know, if they were playing from behind, I don't think you're able to do that, right? Or if you are able to do that, it's going to be a lot more difficult. But they got up early, you know, 10-0. Defense got a couple takeaways, kept Anthony Richardson, you know, sort of under control. Didn't really let him make any big plays, and that dictated. I don't know that they're able to do that if they get behind. And I know it was only a field goal, but, you know, the Colts won the toss, deferred, Packers get the ball right away, go down and put 3 points up. I think that was just a huge start to that game.
Yeah, absolutely. This defense, or just the team overall, right? You talked about Malik Willis not turning the football over, but they were able to get a couple of turnovers. You look, they're among the tops in the league, +4 in their turnover ratio. The Titans are -4. They're near the bottom. Well, what's been the key to these guys being able to get these turnovers?
You know what the crazy thing is, Teron? They had 7 interceptions all of last season. That's it. They were like 31st in the league in defensive interceptions. 7. That's the whole season.
Yeah,
like,
that's what the Titans had last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, they were right. That's just, it's nuts. They've got 5 picks in 2 games. Like, and I mean, I'm not saying they're going to average, you know, 2.5 interceptions a game. I actually asked Matt LaFleur that. He goes, well, I don't know how you get half an interception. But, the math on that would, I think it's like, it'd be over 40 interceptions for a season. They're obviously not going to be able to do that. But they made a change at defensive coordinator for a reason. And one of the things that this defense is predicated on is playing with more vision to the football. It means a little bit more zone coverage, especially in the middle of the defense. And Xavier McKinney, their safety that they paid huge money to in free agent, has a pick in each game. They revamped the safety position for that reason and that reason alone. And they're, you know, so far so good in that regard. Now, if you look statistically, they're not very good in the rest of the defensive stats. But ultimately, you know, while they're still feeling their way through how to, you know, they went from a 3-4 to a 4-3. That's a pretty big change, especially when you don't play your guys in the preseason, your starters in the preseason. So the fact that they're able to get the takeaways while they're still trying to fix the other thing, their pass rush hasn't been overly great. They haven't stopped the run very well. But, you know, taking the ball away covers up for a lot. I always say, like in basketball, you can do a lot of bad things, but if you shoot 50% from 3, you're probably going to win the game.
Yeah, now go look at the Warriors teams. You talk about the pass rush and the conversion, you know, from 3-4 to 4-3. How much has that affected Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary? Because I know Preston Smith pretty much, he's for the most part been especially a stand-up guy.
Yeah, you know, the thing is they both love it, and here's why. Because they don't have to drop into coverage. They're not covering running backs and tight ends out of the backfield. Now, the pressure and sack numbers aren't there yet, and part of it is, though, it's because of the 2 quarterbacks that they played. I mean, they had to rush, you know, Jalen Hurts a little bit more carefully. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson, they had to rush him. You know, you can't just jet up the field. But in training camp, now this may say more about the Packers' offensive line and the state of that during camp because they were missing some guys, but Rashawn Gary was in the backfield all freaking day during training camp. I mean, there were plays, there were periods where they'd run 10 snaps and he'd have 3 sacks and 2 pressures, you know, against the number one offense. So Gary, he loves playing like this, and it's because he can rush the passer. So, you know, but it is an adjustment. Like it takes time to go from playing one way your entire career to now playing with your hand in the ground. Maybe your rush lanes are a little different. The blitzes are a little different. So all that, I think, you know, you can't expect, you know, 2 games to all of a sudden you just be a totally different player.
Well, I tell you what, for those guys, especially whoever is lining up on the left side, the right side of the Titans offense, they should have good opportunities against Petit Ferrer. You mentioned some of the turnovers with the interceptions and those things. Yeah. Jair Alexander, who happens to be, he's my favorite corner in the league. I absolutely love his game, how feisty he is. Everything about him, I love that guy's game. He has a pick Is there anything to getting him to travel again? I know, you know, against A.J. Brown, he was doing some of that. But do you think that had happened this week?
It's possible. I mean, we don't. It's hard because we don't know enough about how Jeff Hafley wants to play defense as a coordinator. He came from Boston College. Like, I know he has an NFL background. He was a DB coach in Cleveland and San Francisco before. But, I mean, he came from a pretty long stint in college at Ohio State as a coordinator and Boston College as a head coach. So we don't know a whole lot. I will say this. Jaire Alexander never backs down from a challenge. He always asks to travel with a guy, and he loves Jeff Hafley. So that would tell me that Jeff Hafley at least is willing to listen. Jaire's been like a totally different guy, you know, in terms of just his attitude and approach. And he'll admit it. Look, he made some mistakes last year. He got suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. And he has been the perfect guy for the locker room, the meeting rooms. Everyone's raved about how good Jaire has been off the field, which I think, I don't know if he'll make a Pro Bowl or All Pro like he has in the past, but I think you'll see it by the when this whole thing's done at the end of the year. I think you'll see Jaire Alexander have a much better year than he did last year.
I love to see it. And real quick, because I know we're up against it, I just wanted your take on the run defense. I noticed, you know, teams have been able to run the ball. Has it been so much that, hey, they're going against quarterbacks to make it 11-on-11 football, or do you think that that could be an actual issue, the run defense?
I don't know, man, because I feel like if we were doing the show in 2009, you'd be asking me the same question. If we were doing the show in 2012, it'd be the same question. I mean, it seems like forever since they've had a good run defense here. I just, for whatever reason, some organizations struggle with some things, and for about the last decade and a half here, they've struggled in that regard. And I, you know, it's different coordinators, it's different players. For whatever reason, that's been the Achilles heel of this defense. And until they can go out and stop the run consistently, I'll tell you when I feel like it really started. It started when in a playoff game against San Francisco, and Colin Kaepernick ran for 185 yards against them. I can't remember if it was that 2012 or 13.
Eric Wallen got put in the spin cycle on that one.
And it's just like they just have not, I mean, whether it's quarterback running the ball or just the old traditional run game, they've struggled to stop the run consistently. So I would say this, if I were playing these guys, until they can stop the run, I'd run it against them.
There you have it right there, Rob. I know you got to run. Go get more of those details that you always bring, man. Appreciate you. It's always good to talk shop. ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Demosky. Rob, we'll definitely get together when you come to Nashville.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you on Sunday.
For sure. So that was Rob Demosky. As you could tell, he's very dialed in with the Packers. Always good to talk shop with him. I appreciate the work that he puts in, so look forward to catching up with him. Definitely appreciate Chris Sanders coming on. It's always fun talking shop there. We got Parker, DJ. Appreciate you guys. And, of course, we appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely continue to check us out. You could find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you listen to your fine podcast. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.